Spring certainly is a time of transition, of renewal, of creative energy. And I think you'll experience all those things in our coming half hour together. Our recent first episode of the Bring Your Own Stories elicited a nice response, so we'll present a new one today, along with a visit from a very bright and enthusiastic new arts leader in town. First, though, we'll take a short walk from our studios in the library here on the UNO campus over to the administration building. It's a pleasure to welcome back to our WWNO microphones Adam Norris, who takes care of things here at UNO in terms of getting the word out to the community about what's going on at UNO. Nice to have you again.
Good to be with you again, Jack.
Yeah, we always like to keep up with from time to time with what's going on with the university. And I thought that since we're approaching the end of an academic year, this would be a good time to see what's going on. You're preparing for graduation.
We are. We're very excited. We have, as you can imagine, it's a big day, not just for our students, but the whole UNO community. We'll be giving an honorary doctorate to John Larroquette, the New Orleanian and five-time Emmy Award-winning actor. He's also won a Tony to his credit. He's a proud New Orleanian. We're proud to bring him back, make him part of the UNO family. So we'll be giving him an honorary degree. We're very excited about that. In addition, our commencement speaker is Dr. Marcus Erickson. Dr. Erickson has 2 degrees from UNO, and he's a fascinating man who has brought great attention to plastic pollution around the globe. He's made rafts out of nothing more than plastic bottles and taken those rafts all the way down the Mississippi River. He's gone from California to Hawaii to bring attention to the fact that there is an enormous plastic pollution problem all around the globe. As I mentioned, he has 2 degrees from UNO. He's received worldwide media attention for bringing attention to this cause. He's a fascinating and charismatic man, and we're happy to have him as our commencement speaker for our spring 2013 commencement at UNO.
Sounds like it will be an interesting one to attend.
Absolutely.
To hear your voice as well, I understand.
So I'll be announcing the graduates' names for the first time, and I've been feverishly going over the list. We'll have about 950 graduates, and I understand what an important day this is for our grads. And when you have your name called out before you cross that stage, you don't want to have the person butcher it. So I'm doing my best to review the names. As you know, we have a large international population here at UNO. This year's graduating class, they come from 46 states and 62 nations, I believe. So we're very proud of our international diversity. Yeah. And I want to make sure that I do my best to make sure that I don't completely butcher their name when they cross that stage. So I'm trying to review those as much as possible and make sure that goes seamlessly and that they hear their name as it should be pronounced.
Right. I'm sure that they will appreciate that. You have a broadcasting background?
I did. I spent 12 years predominantly as a television sportscaster. 10 of those years were in New Orleans. I worked for 2 different television stations. So I've had my fair share of trying to pronounce Eastern European tennis players and Czech hockey players and my share of South Louisiana high school football players. So I think that training hopefully should come in handy on graduation day.
Now, in this position, Adam, you're obviously a well-spoken man, and you put out the word effectively for what's going on at our university ex post facto. Now, before something is done, I'd like to know about this aspect of your position. Are you consulted by university officials for advice or your take on how the community would react to, let's say, a program that's being considered, a personnel move, the dropping of courses, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a part of my job. A chief part of my job is to consider how the university will be viewed externally. That doesn't mean that I'm a spin doctor or anything like that, but I'm consulted for my expertise dealing with the news media, where I was a member for many years, and so I sort of understand what's newsworthy, how news is made, what the important considerations are when deciding how you're going to disseminate news, what channels you use to disseminate that news, and what the most newsworthy things are. So when we're making a decision about things to announce here, that is a primary consideration. We want to make sure that that message gets out to as many members of the community in New Orleans, state of Louisiana, nationally, internationally. A big part of my job is working with the news media, keeping those relationships alive, keeping them informed, and making sure that we here at UNO have the credibility where they can turn to us whenever they need to, for me to provide them with experts or for me to provide them with credible information dealing with the university.
What's happening now at the end of the school year besides graduation? I've been seeing a couple of releases from you from time to time about some new programs and some new personnel changes. What about this computer gaming adventure we're off on.
So this is one of the more exciting things that I think we've going on here academically at UNO, and it's something that's garnered a lot of media attention and attention from prospective students and current students. We've just announced in the past couple of months that we'll be adding a concentration in game development within our Department of Computer Science. And so we all know how the gaming industry has really started to take root both in New Orleans and in Southeast Louisiana. EA, Electronic Arts, has a basis of operations in Baton Rouge. Then there's companies like Touch Studios, Game Loft, which is the enormous French game maker, and Red Ticket Games. Those are all, they all have a presence here in New Orleans. And so we made the decision to add a concentration within the computer science department that will hopefully be able to better prepare our students that want to go into the game development industry. I mean, in 2011 alone, video game sales in the U.S. reached almost $9 billion. And sale of computer games reached almost $500 million. So that's computer gaming and video game sales. So it's, needless to say, it's enormous business. And so we'll offer both introductory and advanced courses in game development, and then introductory and advanced courses in mobile application programming. And we see this as an industry that the popularity will not wane in the coming years. And we feel like we have the infrastructure and the faculty here to be teaching those high-level skills that will get our students jobs in the gaming industry. It's a growth industry, and it's one that attracts enormous popularity among young people right now.
That's pretty exciting. That one took me a little bit by surprise, and as I got into it a little bit in depth and here in speaking with you, I didn't realize the expanse of this.
And these are jobs, too, within the computer science department. If you want to choose a major where you basically have a virtual guarantee of getting hired at a very substantial salary, get an undergraduate degree in computer science. It's amazing. We also, one of the other concentrations we have is in information assurance, which is basically that's forensic science with computers. It's figuring out how to reverse engineer and figure out where viruses come from and figure out basically being a digital detective. And this is
fascinating.
These are skills
that are
prized for both in the governmental and public sector as well as in the private sector. And you basically can write your own ticket if you get a degree in computer science and specialize in something like that.
What are you looking forward to when the fall term ends? What's up next for UNO?
Well, in the fall, we're thrilled that we're going to be able to open our new one-stop shop. It'll be called the Privateer Enrollment Center, and it's actually going to be in this very building in the UNO library right now on the first floor. And essentially, it's going to make the customer service experience a lot easier for our students. So they'll be able to go to one place. It'll be set up like the lobby of a bank, and they'll be able to get registered for classes, pay their tuition bill, get help with financial aid, get their parking sticker, all in one place, and not be shuttled across campus and say, oh, you need to go talk to this person. All the employees in the Privateer Enrollment Center will be cross-trained, so they'll be able to answer all your questions. And if they can't answer your question, the furthest you'll be sent away will be 15 or 20 feet within that same room. And so we really were trying to make sure that we're treating our students as well as possible. They're not getting sent around and getting frustrated, getting sent on wild goose chases. We want them to get all their needs met in one place, and we think that'll do a lot in terms of building some goodwill between our students and us. I think it's a great idea, and we're excited about putting it into motion.
We are located, as Adam mentioned, here at UNO. WWNO is, and our license is held by the university, and we like to keep up with what's going on around here. And the man to talk to when you want to know that kind of thing is Adam Norris. I'm sure we'll see you again before too long. We thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
The University of New Orleans website is uno.edu, and Adam can be reached at pr@uno.edu. This is All Things New Orleans. Jack Hopke along with you today. We've talked about the Arts Council of New Orleans on the program before. It's our city's official arts agency. It is responsible for dispersing sizable amounts of funds, and it has a significant impact on local culture. It also has a brand new leader. It's Kim Cook, and it's my pleasure to welcome her to WWNO. Hi there.
Hi, Jack.
It's good to have you with us. I know that early days of leadership of a busy organization can be frenetic, and I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us here.
It's a very exciting time, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you.
I'm sure that you're in an important position culturally in this city as the head of, what is your formal title now?
President and CEO for the Arts Council of New Orleans.
For the Arts Council of New Orleans, which is a busy and important organization in the cultural life of the city, and also, I must say, to a degree, in the economic life of the city. What's your background? Where do you come from to this position? You've been in it, less than 2 weeks now?
Less than 2 weeks. I started on May 1st.
Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I have a pretty far-ranging background. So my early experiences in the arts were grounded in participatory art in the sense that I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, which has a very, very diverse cultural community, not unlike New Orleans.
Indeed it does.
So when you think about informal or participatory art, you are talking about migrant communities, you're talking about African diasporic forms, African-American social dances. All of those things were part of my world early on. But my mother was also a classical French horn player, and my grandmother was a classical pianist. So I've really always had a broad spectrum, not to mention that my father was a sports enthusiast. So anything that has to do with cultural engagement has always been an active part of my life. And my education evolved along those lines with a bachelor's in performing arts and a master's in something called arts and consciousness, which I like to say immediately lets people know I'm from California.
Northern California.
Northern California.
In specific.
The thing about that, though, is that graduate work focused on the role of the artist in society and the way in which being creative is a sort of intrinsic part of being human. So when I think about the Arts Council's work here in New Orleans, I'm thinking not only about the artists and the cultural institutions that we might typically want to serve and which are a truly important part of our community, but also the ways in which citizens are makers themselves, ways in which there's creative engagement, and how that furthers the larger landscape of the civic objectives of any particular city. So New Orleans is a city that is full of cultural activity, and how we integrate our work into helping New Orleans achieve its vision for the future is crucial to my sort of first thoughts about being here.
How have you found the situation as you've walked in? You're brand new still, and I know that you've just been getting to know staff and the environment of the city. What's your experience been thus far?
Well, first of all, I think the Arts Council has an amazing board. So I feel really gifted that I have such a large group of active, interested, dynamic people to introduce me to the city and to be partners with me in advancing the work of the Arts Council. Additionally, I can't say enough about Scott Hutchison and Mayor Landrieu and their commitment to the cultural economy, their ability to really understand that when you talk arts and culture, you're also talking about advancing social and economic goals. So I couldn't be more thrilled with the opportunities to partner here in the city with the mayor's office and my board. The staff here, I would say, have been working long and diligently, but perhaps without enough visibility. So one of the early priorities for me is to make it clearer and more evident, the work that we're doing, so that people really understand the role that the Arts Council plays and can play in the local community.
Mm-hmm. You are responsible for dispensing, allocating, directing an appreciable amount of funds in terms of support for the arts. Are there any specific directions, specific projects you envision here in as you get started?
Well, our grant making through the community arts grants and the regional grant making that we do is just entering through a cycle now of having received proposals, and we're actually looking for possible panelists to serve on grant panels in early July. That will proceed according to sort of as expected and norm. the public artwork, the most exciting thing that's just happening now and going to be officially launched June 1st for hurricane season, is the EvacuSpots, EvacuTears public art pieces that will be in 14 locations around the city, alerting people to where they can assemble in the case of a hurricane where we need to evacuate. I would say that that public art project is emblematic of a direction that I think is really vibrant and important and significant for the future, where we look at public art as pieces of art for sure, but also things that we need in the city that could be bike racks, it could be wayfinding, it could be street lamps. There are ways in which I want to see the public art investment reflect a civic design aesthetic that is one that exalts and elevates the experience of being in what is clearly the most beautiful city in the country.
Well, that is quite a statement from someone who has obviously been, who has traveled and who has been in San Francisco, which is a great favorite place of mine. This is Kim Cook. I appreciate the opportunity, as I said, in this busy time to allow the community to get to know you through us here at WWNO. You've mentioned you've gone from conceptual prospects and ideas to mentioning specifics. And I want today just to make sure that we provided an introduction and that we establish, that we establish this place as a forum for future discussions, and so that we can know what's going on in the cultural life of the city through the organization that you now head. Kim Cook, thank you very much for speaking with us and for loaning your talents and experience to New Orleans.
Thank you, Jack.
Contact with the new leader is possible at kcook@artscouncilofneworleans.org. I'm Jack Hopke. This is All Things New Orleans from WWNO. You're about to hear a story told by a New Orleans resident at a local event called Bring Your Own. Bring Your Own is a live storytelling pop-up series that takes place in living rooms, backyards, and other intimate spaces within the community. Each month, seven storytellers have 7 minutes each to respond to a theme. And what you're about to hear was told live, unscripted, and true to the teller. This winning piece was recorded live back on July 10th, later produced by New Orleans resident Jesse Chain. And the theme of the evening was wild animals. And here, the host of that evening, Aubrey Edwards, tells a story about saving a helpless creature in the midst of her darkest hour.
So I'm a photographer, and I was on my way to a shoot, and it was after a breakup where I lost the car in the breakup. So a 32-year-old professional photographer is riding her bicycle through the French Quarter with all of her equipment strapped to the front basket. And I get to my shoot, and I'm unloading, and I get out, and I look on the ground, and there's this baby bird who couldn't have been more than 3 days old. And it's just on its back, and it's just like, wah! And everybody's walking past and passing it by, and I look down, and I'm like, okay, all right. I'm like, can you watch that? And I pick up this bird, and this bird is literally like this big. And I run in the cabildo. I'm like, you guys are going to think I'm a total crazy person. Like, I just found this bird. I got to go work. I'm going to be done in an hour. Can you just, like, do you have a box? I don't know, do you have a box? He has a paper towels. Can you just, and the security guard's like, okay, no. I saved a blue jay like last week. I got it. It's fine. I'm like, oh my God. So I leave this bird. I go to my shoot. I come back down the entire hour that I'm working. I think this thing has died. And I come back down, and there's a new security on guard, and there's a little baby puma shoebox, and on top of it is wet washcloths to keep it warm, and there's this bird inside with no feathers, and it's blood red, and it's just like eyes are closed. And this older security guard comes out, and his name's Carrie, and I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much for taking care of this bird. And he's like, let me tell you what you do. This random man in this random situation, this random bird, teaches me how to keep it alive. And before I found this bird, I was just praying and meditating and willing. I'm just like, can something just like ground me? Is there just something that can just give me a purpose to wake up every day. And it came in the form of this baby bird that I had to feed every 30 minutes for 13 hours a day, that I had to wrap up in bubble wrap and a blanket and put it in my bike basket and take it to work with me every day and tell my coworkers, I know you guys know I'm crazy, but I'm at a new level of crazy. I got this bird with me. And they all loved it. It takes a village, and we all raised this bird together. And waking up every day to look into the eyes of something that is fighting for survival as much as you are, mind-blowing. At this point, I kind of called my father. I'm estranged from my family. And my mother died when I was 6. And when my mother died, my father dealt with that by being a severe alcoholic and also raising a lot of animals. So we had a pet crow and chinchillas and tarantulas and chickens and 10 dogs and 20 cats and koi fish and everything. We were raised with animals. And it was having this unconditional love from something that he found in them after losing his junior high school sweetheart to breast cancer when I was 6 and she was 32. And it's something that I learned to find in this bird. So I'm talking to my father. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've got this bird. I think it's a mockingbird. Do you have any tips? What can I do? Like, she's still in this very fragile state. Everybody tells me, well, she's going to die. I'm like, or you're going to die. Okay? So my dad is this ex-cop in the middle of the Arizona desert who just has succumbed to just dying slowly and hating everything. He was like, whoa, you know what? He's like, your mom found a bird. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, before you were born, your mom found a wild bird, and she reared it, and she kept it as a pet for years. And I just, like, hung up the phone. It was just like, my mom sent me this bird. Like, in my absolute darkest hour of my life, I find this wild animal, which was the only thing, and still is, that tames me, that calms me, that brings me joy in my life on a daily basis. And we'll just look in each other's eyes and we're like, we're doing it. On Father's Day, the two security guards who helped me when I first found her came over. And we had tea and we had cake. And it's unconditional love. So, thank you.
Virginia has since passed, but Aubrey now consistently finds and is given injured wild birds that she cares for and releases. She's currently training for her wildlife rehabilitation certification. Bring Your Own is a production of Liam Daniel Pierce, Lane Kaplan Levinson, and Nina Feldman. If you are interested in attending the next Bring Your Own, get in touch with bringyourownstories@gmail.com. And until we hear from or about you, that's all for this week. All Things New Orleans is a production of WWNO News. We archive at WWNO.org, and we invite your comments and submissions at jhopke@uno.edu, J-H-O-P-K-E. I'm Jack Hopke, producer and host, and I thank Lane K.L. for assistance with this week's program. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Most of the shadows of life are caused by standing in our own sunshine." Try standing instead in the bright sunshine of All Things New Orleans. Broadcasting in HD from the University of New Orleans. This is 89.9 WWNO New Orleans, 90.5 KTLN Thibodaux Homa, and WWNO.org, your source for NPR News.